listening to the Cosmopolitan Hour.
Hey, I'm somebody from the room, see the room 100 times, and you're listening Cosmopolitan Hour, whatever you're listening to, listen well, okay? I'm Tommy Wiseau. Have a groovy time. Bye.
What is this? 67?
67. You know what?
Or 68?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what we're coming up on?
What?
69.
Oh, rude.
So we're at a new location today.
Yes.
We're at the Church Key.
We're at a secret place.
Yeah.
That's secret because it's cool and you can't come here.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
It's a place that has no sign, but it's called the Church Key, and it has lots of beers.
And amazing wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
With gargoyles sticking out their tongues.
Yeah, it looks either flames or flowers.
Yeah. Sort of both, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're playing good music.
But there is a dead pheasant on the wall, which I don't agree
with. Oh, yes, I don't approve of that at all. That's not vegan.
No.
Sad. But it's a nice little place.
Yes, and what is it, $9 that our beers cost?
Yeah, combined? Something like that, yeah, $9.
Actually, we haven't closed our tab yet, so we don't know, but yeah. Cheers.
Cheers, to $9.
To $9. That is $2,491 less than other vegan podcasts of similar quality and caliber. Actually, yes. No, it's probably much higher quality and caliber.
I think we're very high quality and very high
probably
caliber.
Probably not $2,491 worth of quality and caliber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sound cunty, although I often am, let's face it. Yeah, that is the going price right now for the self-reported next big vegan podcast.
Right.
$2,500.
Right.
There is a vegan woman in Brooklyn who has started a Kickstarter fundraising page asking for people to donate money so she can raise $2,500 to start a vegan podcast.
Right.
Which is an admirable goal.
Yes, vegan podcasting is awesome.
Yes,
and
podcasting is awesome.
Yes.
Being vegan is awesome. And podcasting about veganism is a great way to spread the message of veganism.
Even if you're not just talking about veganism all the time, like us, we get a surprising response from non-vegans who listen to our show for reasons that I can't quite figure out, but I'm happy that they do.
Yes. So I know you have lots to say on this topic.
Oh, yes.
So I will be very brief and let you fire off like a little firecracker on the 4th of July, or Canada Day, if you will, both of which were very recent.
Yes.
My thoughts are, I'm thrilled to have a new cohort in the vegan podcasting world, as small as it may be. If it were a planet, it would be Pluto.
Yes.
Its planethood would be called into question.
It would be a planetoid.
Yes. But, you know, I'm happy for our population to increase. I really and truly am.
Yeah.
And I hope it would increase faster. That said, I feel like podcasting is, in a way, sort of punk rock in that it can be very DIY.
Yep.
It's a way of really cheaply and effectively and powerfully getting your message across. And yes, I dare say organize around a message. And to me, something that's punk rock and DIY is not something that can be bought for $2,500. I understand that there's a lot of fancy equipment out there. We ourselves have a state-of-the-art $50 MP3 recorder that we bought from Amazon.com, the experts at Amazon.com.
And we are considering buying a microphone.
Yeah.
Which is going to improve your lives, listeners. I can tell you that.
It's going to be off the chain.
Yeah. And we are going to spend, a mad $66 on this microphone?
So I guess my main concern is what happened to the DIY spirit, first of all. Second of all, I'm truly and honestly baffled as to what about a podcast costs $2,500. Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to this question because despite Kickstarter's rules, this young woman did not explain the details of how the costs would be allocated within this $2,500 budget. So we have no idea what the $2,500 is for, how it will be spent, other than a vague end product of a vegan podcast. Jordan, go.
All right. Thank you for that introduction. You kind of touched on the thing that's really been bothering me about this whole thing, which is the whole DIY spirit. I mean, I guess it's not to say that every single person who wants to make a podcast or wants to get their voice out there in any kind of way, be it in print or whatever, should be, photocopying at Kinko's and putting out hand-stapled zines. But, there's... Podcasting is basically the blogging of the radio world. You know, what blogs are to magazines and newspapers, podcasting is to radio, I think. And, with that in mind, how crazy would it be if somebody started a Kickstarter to raise, $2,500 or $1,500 to start a blog? That would be the craziest shit in the entire world, right? And everybody would know that it's crazy. And I think that the only reason that this person is able to ask for this without people laughing in their face, and maybe they are laughing in their face anyway, but it's because I think people don't know a whole lot about podcasting. It seems like something that's really difficult and something that's beyond the technical capabilities of the average person.
Right.
Which, it's really too bad, because even a quick search on Amazon when I was looking for microphones for us, I typed in the words podcasting microphone, hoping to find a microphone that would be well suited for recording voices and, perhaps even something that was good for recording in noisy environments. And what popped up but something like 200 different podcasting kits,
right,
that consisted of, microphones and, books on how to podcast, and all of these things were under $150, of them. So, the only thing that I could think that she'd be buying with that other $2,350 is a brand new computer.
Right.
Which, I guess you need a computer or access to a computer of some kind to podcast, but you don't... She presumably has a computer already since she made the Kickstarter thing, and since
she's a vegan living in Brooklyn in the 21st century.
Right, right. And she certainly doesn't seem like somebody who is, struggling financially. I know that on her Kickstarter she cites the fact that she is covered in tattoos and takes kickboxing classes something like 5 times a week. So I know that those are expensive hobbies.
Right.
And I'm kind of offended that somebody has taken something that, you and I have been doing on literally a shoestring for over 2 years now, and that I think we've managed to reach some people and do some good things, and that other people have been doing, like Colleen Patrick Goudreau, who's been, just doing it because she kind of has a bit of a platform as a well-known cookbook author, and she's done some really great interviews. She's, brought attention to a lot of really important issues. And then, people like Jasmine from our hen house and stuff, all these people are people who aren't necessarily rich, don't necessarily have, a lot of, don't necessarily have just $2,500 extra dollars just kicking around begging to be used on some frivolous hobby, but they've managed to start, very professional sounding podcasts that, I think really appreciated. And then that brings me to the other thing. The proposal for the podcast sounded like it would basically just be exactly the same as our hen house, which is already in existence. So,
right.
I'm sorry if the person who started that Kickstarter is listening to this, but sometimes you just really need to hack the fuck up and just do it. If you really want to do a podcast, then fucking do a podcast. It's not that hard. If we can do it drunk most weeks, then it seems like, while we're juggling full-time jobs and tattoo and, extreme exercise addictions of our own, then, then I feel like pretty much anybody can.
Granted, I'm sure she's aiming for a bit higher quality than what we've got going on, but still.
Perhaps.
I concur.
But again, I think she's aiming to do the exact same thing that has already been done by a few other people out there.
Right.
I didn't see anything unique. I mean, say what you will about the quality of our audio, at least we're providing something that nobody else is doing right now. And I think that that's why people like us, is because they feel like, you know, they can listen to us while they're at work, and they feel like instead of, you know, attending a lecture or listening to the news, they're listening to people talk, and it's like, you know, the next best thing is being able to go out and shit talk with their friends. I think. I mean, from the response that we get, that's kind of the impression.
I see a new marketing angle. I'm seeing, like, coffee mugs, like, coffee with your best friends, Jordan and Erica. And, like, we're like morning TV for losers, for dirtbags.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect.
And because dirtbags don't do mornings, we're, like, afternoon TV for dirtbags.
Right.
But on a podcast while you're at a job you hate.
Right. Exactly. Who wants to be Regis and who wants to be Kathy Lee?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, very down-market Regis and very down-market.
I could be Regis. I get confused occasionally and blurt out non-sequiturs.
So do I. I think we both probably have equal claim to both both of those people. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was a Kickstarter project that I endorsed today on my Facebook, and I know you did as well. And it's for a documentary filmmaker who's making a film about Tony Serra.
But Tony doesn't want us to endorse it.
I know.
He rescinded it.
But screw him. I don't care.
screw him. Fund this documentary about him because he's amazing.
He is. But I mean, the filmmaker has begun work on the documentary. He has produced, you know, he's produced a number of, you know, interview shots, and he's, you know, shot a bunch of scenes. He's done a lot of research. He's done a lot of work. And he's got, you know, a finished product in mind that I think is, you know, worthwhile.
Right.
And right now he's raising money on Kickstarter specifically so that he can buy rights to archival footage to complete his documentary. So, you know, he's got kind of like a very... And the amount that he's looking for, $20,000 for a film, is not very much.
No,
it's a very, very small budget for a film. And he's financing it a lot himself, and he's just, you know, it's mostly a labor of love, even though Tony thinks that he's a scam artist, but I think that a scam artist would probably come up with a better scam.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think Kickstarter is really good for, you know, hopefully people around the country who, you know who Tony is and appreciate his work will kick in, you know, 20 or 50 bucks or something, and if enough people do that, then he will reach his goal. But with this podcast thing, I mean, for one, there's no expense listed that she's trying to cover with this, and for another, it's just kind of, she's just, I don't know, I mean, I feel like I'm harping on it, but she's just doing the same thing that other people are doing already.
Yeah.
You know, like interviewing vegan celebrities. Well, great, except that the vegan celebrity that you're, like, posting about on your page already has her own podcast, so we don't really need to hear interviews of her because we have very good access to what she thinks already because she has her own podcast that she has funded with her own money. So, I don't know. I don't know. It irks me.
Yes.
Yeah. And... I don't know. If the owner of the Kickstarter page is listening, then they can feel free to email us. And
I, for one, would be, you know, I echo what Jordan says, but I would truly and honestly be more than happy to show you how to make a podcast.
Yes.
And it will cost you about $200 tops. Tops.
Right. And that's for, like, probably better quality than what we're putting in.
It's for much better quality than what we're doing.
To be fair, our quality would be much higher if we just recorded in a quiet room.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
We don't, so.
Yeah, we want a drink. Fuck you.
Yeah. Only alcoholics drink in quiet rooms. We have to drink in a bar so that we're acceptable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But seriously, you know, I apologize because we just keep referring to her as that woman with the Kickstarter page. I know it's called Red Red Vegan Radio or something like that, and I apologize because I don't know her name off the top of my head. But sincerely and honestly, as sincere as I can be, I do extend an invitation for me to teach you what I know about podcasting, as limited as it may be, because, and I know this is going to sound super bitchy and I don't care, but, you know, that $2,500 that, you know, a lot of vegans are pitching in could be going to animals. I put it out there. Like, sorry, but it's true.
For instance,
like $2,500 is a lot of money. It would be a lot of money to, you know, a shelter.
Farm sanctuary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything like that. And if you, I'm sorry, I have to pitch this, but
yeah,
if you have extra vegan dollars that you're looking to donate to a really good cause, friend of the Cosmopolitan Hour, Megan McClellan, and I are going to be riding 100 miles in September to raise money for 3 farm sanctuaries in the Portland area.
Yes.
The ride is called The Ride to Light, and there's a Facebook page and a First Giving page, which you can Google, or I can add into the blog at a later time. And you can go and donate money, and all of that money is going to be split 3 ways between the 3 sanctuaries.
Yes.
And that goes a long, long ass way to helping out some animals, like, right then and there. And I think that that's pretty awesome.
Yes. I must correct you. One of the sanctuaries is, I believe, in Missouri.
Oh, is
so
it?
That,
oh,
that is not included on the bike ride.
I'm sorry.
For the obvious reasons.
Yes, yes.
But yes, you will be visiting two of the sanctuaries on your bike ride.
Yeah.
And yes, I heartily endorse this. I personally endorsed it last year when they did it, and I endorsed it again this year. And Jordan's going to be in it this year, which is amazing and awesome. So you should check it out, and we'll definitely put links up on the blog.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
And if you want to dig a little deeper, I am also extending the invitation to learn how to podcast to anybody that attends Vita VeganCon this August.
Yes.
Jordan and I will be speaking, as you are probably aware. We're going to be on a panel about podcasting with the ladies of Our Hen House and Colleen Patrick Goudreau.
Yes.
And so we're going to be giving you some tips and ideas on how to start your own podcast. And I'm happy to be approached after our panel if you want to talk to me more about podcasting.
Yes.
And
we are hoping to record an episode while we're there.
Yes.
At least one. And I know that we'll be hitting the bars of Portland.
Yes.
And we would be happy to have people come along and be our guests and talk to us, or just to sit and watch us awkwardly talk to each other while we drink.
Or, you know, later on, hold back our hair as we vomit.
Yeah.
And in that spirit, not vomiting, but teaching and extending learning to everybody.
Yes.
Because learning is for everyone.
Yes.
And podcasting is for everyone. We've decided to raise a little money of our own.
That we have.
We're going to be raising money to give to the organizers of Vita VitaCon to sponsor one more ticket to this year's Vita VeganCon for a low-income person who wants to attend.
Yes. Low-income people are near and dear to our hearts because we very, very recently were low-income people.
And just to remind you, this is a sold-out event, so this ticket is like gold.
Yes.
So I don't think anybody's donated yet. We have a little blog entry up on our blog with a PayPal button. We jokingly called it a fundraiser for our beer money, because that's really all the money we spend on this podcast is for beer money. So we're raising beer money. But in actuality, this quote-unquote beer money will be donated to Vita VeganCon to sponsor one more ticket.
And just in case we raise more than the price of the ticket, then we've decided that we will donate any extra to animal charities. We haven't decided which ones yet, but we'll let you know.
Ones,
a good
know.
One.
Yeah.
We won't actually drink it.
No, we promise. Please give, you know, if you can give $5 or $10 or $20, that would be amazing. Do what you can. And we are going to sweeten the deal. I think it's if you donate $25 or more, you get a t-shirt.
A t-shirt. A Cosmopolitan Hour t-shirt with the adorable design that we have cro- really not done anything with yet.
Yes.
By Kelly McClellan, the amazing vegan illustrator.
Yes.
Who you should hire if you have any illustration that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And who doesn't.
Give her a lot of money and freelance her ass off so she can move back out of that horrible town she's living in right now. We need to rescue her people.
Yes. Yes.
Kelly, get out of there.
So basically what we're saying is there are a lot of places that you can put your vegan dollars and that we don't think that putting 2,500 of them towards financing what can only be somebody's new laptop is...
Either that or a lot of promotional stuff like web designers and t-shirts and ads.
Which in the age of Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and now Google Plus and like WordPress and everything else, I can't see justifying that kind of money for like a one person podcast.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's probably more than most radio stations spend on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of insane to spend it on a startup podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever.
If you would like to donate some money to send one more person to VitaVegaCon and possibly inspire one more person to start a podcast on the cheap, you can go to our website, thecosmopolitanhour.com, and we have a little PayPal button. It should work. If it doesn't work, please let us know.
Yes. So I got clipped by a car on Saturday on my bike. So I would like to issue a public service announcement to everybody that drives a car to open your fucking eyes when you're behind the wheel and don't hit cyclists with your side view mirror, please.
Wow.
Because it is painful and scary. I was riding on the side of the road with Megan as we were heading out to San Jose for our training ride. And I was wearing my white reflective helmet and my white and bright green jersey. So I should not have blended in with the road. I was stopped at a red light and it turned green. And as I prepared to go, despite there being three empty lanes to my left, a giant SUV, the driver, which I highly suspect was drunk, comes up behind me and is so close that he hits me with his rear view, with his side view mirror, as like Megan like screams at me to watch out like 1 second before it happens. And then he looks like he's gonna pull over and I'm really shaken up, so I'm kind of like, okay, I'm gonna give this asshole a piece of my mind. And then instead just drives away. So I tried to catch him and I didn't. And it really kind of shook me up because it made me realize, like, you know, it's the actual contact, you know, hurt a little bit, but it's not really that big of a deal. But I realized that if the guy had been like 2 inches closer to me, he might well have like thrown me off my bike, and his vehicle was so big that he might have thrown me underneath his rear wheel.
Right.
Because he was traveling slow enough, and you know, there was enough clearance underneath, and I was just kind of like, oh my god, you know. And that guy just didn't see me at all. So
it's fucking. Ridiculous, you know, I mean, it's just so easy for people to drive a car. It's scary how easy it is.
It really is.
And it's, you know, like, you get so comfortable behind the wheel of a car, and I know from personal experience.
Right.
I've been driving for, god, what, 15 years now?
You are a very good driver.
Thank you. But I know, it's easy. It is so easy, especially when you're young and very confident. It's so easy to overestimate the amount of control you have over the vehicle and how well you know your vehicle and how close you can get to things without touching them.
Right.
It is really easy to mistake that. I don't care who the fuck you are, so leave a wide fucking berth.
Yeah.
Use your eyes. Don't do shit while you're in the car, like check your messages or like change your CDs or shit like that.
Or drink beer.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah.
And the same goes for pedestrians. Don't hit pedestrians with your car.
Yes.
It's a simple rule.
Don't hit anything with your car.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Generally. I don't know. It was. I mean, the thing that really killed me about it was it wasn't like we were in tight traffic. You know, when I ride to work, I ride in through some pretty congested areas sometimes, and so sometimes I will like slip between cars and stuff like that, and I go very slowly and I'm pretty careful. But you know, this is like the guy had three lanes of traffic, and instead of giving me like 6 inches, he hit me with his stupid mirror. So
fucker.
He was a fucker, and then I was so pissed that I was like, it's like when you're, you know, catcalled on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to say something like really biting and like cut the guy's balls off with your tongue, but not in a sexual way. But then you're just kind of like, in the moment, you're just kind of like, you're so shocked and just offended and pissed off that it happened, that it takes you a minute. And that totally happened to me, where I was just kind of like, you know, I yelled at the guy. I was like, "What for your fucking going?" And then it took me like 20 seconds to realize that like, I should catch up to him and get his license plate number so that I can call the cops and be like, "Yeah, this guy essentially hit me with his car."
Yeah.
But I didn't do that because I was sad. So, whatever. Watch out if you're driving, and if you're on a bike, watch out even more.
Yeah.
And same if you're walking. Yeah.
Live on the street. This is hard street talk.
That's right.
On the beats. On the streets.
I was like, okay, I have zero charisma.
Which
acting
trailer?
Ability for the English version of the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Got it.
So no charisma, no acting ability, unphotogenic, and I would make better Lisbeth Salander than that girl. Because at least I don't like look like I'm about to burst into tears at like...
It's because she doesn't have any eyebrows. They shaved off her eyebrows.
Which is so dumb. Where is it written anywhere in either like those books or, you know, the book of punk rock that punk rock girls shave their eyebrows?
Where is it written anywhere in the book that they actually speak English to each other?
Well,
boom.
Touche. No, actually, in the book that I read, it wasn't English, so...
Right, but it was assumed that they were really speaking in quote-unquote Swedish.
True. You
know. Let's go this way. Ooh, what's this building with the red lamps? Are we in the North Beach Red Light District?
Ooh, I don't know. Let's take a closer look, shall we?
Let's. So here's my issue with the poster.
Yes.
Poster shows Daniel Craig, is that his name?
Yes.
Mr. 007?
Yes.
Oh, it's some douchey restaurant. Never mind.
No.
God, I'd prefer a whorehouse.
Me too.
Le Bordeaux, original French restaurant.
Welcome to our love-hate relationship with San Francisco.
Seriously, Jesus. Oh my God, have you been to the Mission lately? I'm just like so infuriated by all this douchey stuff that's popping up there lately.
Uh-oh. This looks like a super douchey bike store.
Yeah, that's pretty douchey. So, yes, the movie poster for the English language remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, approximately, what, 2-3 years after the original Swedish language movie, and less than 10 years after the book was published in Swedish, features Daniel Craig as Michael Blomqvist, who is not supposed to be, like, a rugged James Bond-type character at all.
No, but he's supposed to be, like, a mildly out of shape, like,
middle-aged dude.
Yeah.
And he's got his arm around Lisbeth Salander, who's played by an actress named Rooney Mara. And first of all, like, I take issue, first of all, with the way he's holding his arm around, like, almost around her neck.
Yeah.
Like, in a very possessive sense. That is an adorable dog. Yeah. That looks like a pit bull boxer mix.
How
cute. He's got his arm around her in this almost, like... weirdly aggressive chokehold.
Yeah.
And like possessive, you know? And on top of it all, she's topless, so her tits are out. Which is like, and she's wearing these super low shorts or pants that like, you know, basically go down to like her pubic bone. And and like her nipples are obscured by the release date of the film or some shit like that. And but yeah, it just seems like complete antithesis to everything in the book about her character.
Right.
And especially about her character's relationship to men and towards traditional displays of masculine dominance,
yes,
and aggression. And it's just like, did you read the book before you made this movie?
Yeah, I agree. It is complete and utter bullshit. And it was just, I mean, everything about the way that, the character's been portrayed in the American movie just misses the mark. Totally. I mean, in the Swedish version, the actress who plays Lisbeth, it's right there.
Oh, yes, there it is.
The actress who plays Lisbeth is, to prepare for the role, she did diet, but her diet basically consisted of going on an athlete's diet. So,
oh, okay.
You know, like, loading up on tons of protein and then working out.
She didn't go on the 7-Eleven pan pizza diet?
No. That was only when she was shooting the movie, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she, you know, I read about what she did to get ready for the role, and basically she worked out hard to get the muscles that she's supposed to have, because Lisbeth Salander's supposed to be small, but she's supposed to be strong.
That's right. She learned kickboxing from Paolo Roberto.
That's right.
And only two people will get that joke, but I don't care.
Oh, shit. This place looks busy.
Ew, this place looks hella busy and kind of douchey.
What should we do?
Ooh, we could go to that place where we drank once when you were house-sitting that gigantic dog.
Yeah, okay. Let's walk down that way.
Let's do it.
There's lots of bars around here. I'm sure we'll find one that isn't crazy. It's a Wednesday, for fuck's sake.
That's true.
There's actually also a Belgian place down here.
Ooh,
that might be good. Yeah, but... I mean, it's just... So Noomi Rapace,
yes,
which I'm probably pronouncing wrong, but whatever.
No, I think that's how you say it.
Okay. She prepared for the role by... working out, getting strong, whatever. And then, you know, Rooney Mara had to have prepared for the role by basically just starving herself.
Right.
And I think that is just so, like, just that in itself, I think, speaks a lot about how the two movies were conceptualized by their directors and producers and everything.
Because, yeah.
You know, in the Swedish version, the character stays very true to the fact that she is, you know... I mean, that's what the whole book is about, and I think that's partly why I really liked it. It's about a woman who is tiny and constantly underestimated, who still creates, like, this, you know, chaos and then, like, huge change, and who, you know, is powerful and forceful and, you know, undeniable, and I think that that's... really great. But, you know, you can't do that if you are, you know, starving yourself to death and weak and tiny and you know, I don't know. So, and then on top of that, I saw, before the trailer was released, Vogue magazine did a shoot where they had, Rooney Mara.
Oh, okay.
Like, kind of in character.
Oh, okay.
Do a fashion shoot. And I mean...
So it was totally stupid.
It was completely stupid. I mean, I've talked before about, you know, how much it bothers me to see the fashion industry trying to co-opt punk rock. And I know that it succeeded, you know. Punk
right.
rock is fashion now, and that's sad, but I guess that's the way it goes. But, I mean, the character in the book, no time in the book does she ever get down and go shopping for, like, Chanel,
right.
You know?
Right.
The book even talks about her going shopping
oh
after she
God,
has all this money.
Oh my God, does it ever. I was like, can I stop reading about what clothes she's buying and what brand of IKEA furniture she's got?
But I mean, I think the point of all that was that she was, you know, even though she had all that money, she didn't buy into all this materialistic bullshit. She
right.
didn't got what she needed. She... got the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I thought that given the fact that he'd taken all that care to lay that into the character...
Right.
The fact that they were then, like, putting her in the pages of Vogue and, like, fucking Chanel bullshit... was just
super stupid. I mean, even dumber than Vogue usually is. And I think
that's
Vogue
pretty
is
fucking
pretty dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sure Anna Wintour thinks you're dumb, too.
Yeah, fuck Anna Wintour. I could beat her up.
You probably could.
I definitely could.
I don't know. She's got that wiry, like... like rage, like I don't know, but she's got like demonic. Oh yeah, let's check it out. She's got like a demonic wiriness about
her.
That's
true. I don't have the demonic thing.
Yeah, like you've got spunk, whereas she's just got evil.
But before you know it, it's just nothing but the simple blues and elf.
Okay, you were talking about finding England's national
England's
drink.
England's national drink.
With Oz and James.
With Oz and James. It's like a BBC series, and it was about...
It's going to perch here, like our little perfect. Parrot.
It's like a bird.
That's our recorder, by the way.
Yeah.
The recorder is our bird.
Yes. We're sorry for the disorienting experience this week, but...
We're now in a cave.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. We're in the Bat Cave in an undisclosed location.
It's true. But there's a bunch of other people here, as you can probably tell.
I'm really, really hoping that this is imitation ostrich we're sitting on.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of gross. I'm just going to say that it is.
It feels kind of fake and plasticky.
It's totally fake.
Yeah.
All right. It's fake.
Crazy.
But yes.
Anyways. So yes, Oz and James.
England is obsessed with finding itself. Let me just throw that out there.
That's true.
Okay.
And it's also fairly obsessed with booze. So it seems...
I know. I always thought England's national drink was like lager or ale.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's that, and then there's cider, which is kind of an important national drink there.
Especially to the youth of Great Britain.
Yes. There's also gin and tonic, which is, you know...
vital to the temporary secretaries in the capital and major cities.
Right, and also to fending off malaria.
Right, that too.
In the colonies. So.
Ah, excellent.
Right. But Oz and James basically toured around Britain looking for Britain's national drink, and one of the places that they visited was a cider maker who... It was, you know, it was basically like an old family place out in the country. I can't remember where exactly it was, but it was, they'd been making cider for like 200 years or something like that.
Of course they have.
And everything just looked like so dirty and gross. not necessarily in like a, it was just like really old. Like
yeah.
So old that you couldn't clean it kind of thing.
Right.
And so that was,
it just looked unsanitary in comparison to, you know, stainless steel.
Yeah, the Budweiser
breweries.
Brewery. Yeah. You know, yeah. But apparently the cider was delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the brewery I saw in Brussels was basically like a big copper vat with no cover in like an attic. And, you know, to control the temperature, they could like open up slats in the attic. So, you know, in theory, there could be bird shit getting in there.
Right.
I'm not going to say there is. Yeah.
Whatever. It all just adds to the...
It does.
It's the terroir of the...
It adds to the robust flavor.
Right. Right.
That's the character of the drink.
Yes. I mean, it's interesting to think about those old manufacturing methods and then think about things like the rise in allergies and asthma in these generations.
True.
I mean,
true.
I'd be willing to bet that our hygienic standards have actually gone quite a long way in hurting our generation
totally.
And beyond.
As is this
immune.
Obsession with keeping children clean.
Yes.
I mean, kids get dirty.
Children are disgusting.
Deal with it. Yeah, kids are fucking gross.
They're gross.
They're gross because they're preparing their adult selves to be immune to everything. That's
right.
Why kids are fucking gross.
Right. Yeah.
Let them be gross. They're supposed to be gross.
Yes.
I mean, wipe their nose once in a while, sure. And,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, don't let them just, like, shit in their pants or whatever. Because that is gross. But, I mean... Yeah,
I mean, you have to guide them to not be gross,
right.
But, you know.
You kind of need to walk that line,
I guess. And you have to deal with that.
Yes. Having a child is basically inviting a big ball of germs into your house for the, like, 18 years.
Just throw out that fucking hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
The kid's not going to die from a dirty hand.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you're a surgeon, you can keep it.
Right.
If you're a surgeon and, like, you might need to perform emergency surgery or something like that.
Indeed.
Then I guess you can keep it, but...
So this child rearing advice brought to you by two childless women.
Yeah.
So speaking of the colonies.
Yes, let's speak more of the colonies.
Yes. I just returned from a trip to Ceylon. No, I'm just kidding. Did you see this? This article about the couple in South Africa who had their colonial-themed wedding.
I did.
I'm sure you did, because I think you're the one who told me about it.
I'm pretty sure I did.
So, yeah, that was interesting.
Well, I mean, so basically, there aren't a lot of details known about this couple, because
right.
It seems that the photographs were discovered via their wedding photographer's website, who
right.
put up some of the photographs, you know, on his blog as promotional material.
Right.
And
really, who wouldn't want to brag about photographing a racially segregated wedding?
Right, of course. So somehow Jezebel got hold of these photos and did a little write-up about, you know, how it was really racist and crazy.
A silently horrified guest tipped them off, I'm sure.
Probably. I would hope so. That's what I like to think. So they linked to the photographer's blog, and I guess, you know, the
now
photographer probably experienced, like, a 3,000%
right.
increase in traffic and took down those photographs.
Yeah.
So precious little is known about this, except for that it was a couple that elected to have a colonial-themed wedding.
Yes.
And, you know, which in and of itself is a little weird, but, like, okay, fine, if you wanted to, like, wear a safari hat and, like, go after, like, the style, fine,
right.
fine. A little distasteful,
yeah.
especially given that you're living in South Africa, but not that remarkable.
Yeah, get a tiger pinata, you know.
Right,
pretend
right.
you're on safari.
Right, exactly. But this couple kind of went a step further and secured the services of a number of black servants to dress
yes.
up in colonial servant garb and serve
yes.
the all-white wedding party.
Yeah.
So basically what you had...
But, you know, it was an authentic experience. They had antiques shipped all the way from Pretoria.
That's true. That's true. They were clearly very dedicated to the authenticity
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, the I think there's only two or three photos that are still up because they're on Jezebel. But yeah, the one photo, there's like a black guy in a fez like pouring
yeah.
drinks while
yeah.
the happy couple's like, ha ha ha,
right.
we're white and privileged.
Yeah, it's
and the guy just looks like totally like
bummed.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
yeah, bummed is a good way to put it.
Yeah,
yeah. in the American sense of the word, of course.
Yes. Yes. I don't... Is there another sense of the word? I'm
yes.
ignorant. I've never been off of the continent, really.
Yes, but you should know this as a subject of the Queen. To be bummed by somebody.
I don't know. I don't know what that
it's
means.
Another word for sodomy.
Oh.
Yes.
I've never heard that.
Yes, as in you're a bummer. That means you're gay.
Really?
Yes.
I've only ever used bugger.
That's another good one.
Yeah, that's the one that I've...
Oh, okay.
That's the one I was aware of. I was not aware that bummer was...
Well,
I suppose that makes sense.
This linguistics lesson brought to you by... The letter C. B for bum.
Yes.
Here's another fun, insensitive phrase to throw around from old Mother England.
Tell me.
Shirtlifter.
Shirtlifter?
Yes.
What
As in you turn around and lift up your shirt to receive anal pleasure.
Oh.
Yes. It's along the same lines as bummer.
I was thinking, you know, like a day class A woman who would lift up her shirt to flash her... business.
Oh, maybe.
But
that's what we could call people in New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
That's true.
Shirtlifters.
And only we will be aware of
yes.
this more subversive contest.
It'll be like it'll be the new fanny pack.
Right.
British will come over here and laugh at us for referring to women flashing their tits as shirtlifters, just as they'll snigger at our fanny packs, because fanny in England means vagina.
Yes. Which is quite amusing. So for the next thing that I wanted to talk about, you actually need to witness
something.
So California milk producer.
Oh right. Yes.
They've got a new ad campaign.
Yes, I'm completely in the dark about this.
It is based around the fact that calcium allegedly helps with PMS.
Which is a moot point, because...
Because milk is bad for PMS.
Well, because milk leaches calcium out of your bones.
Yes.
And, you know, if calcium cures PMS, then fucking chomp down some broccoli, bitches.
Yeah.
Plus, I read in Bust Magazine years and years ago that strawberries help with PMS.
Lots of things help with PMS. I'm just going to go through the, through the PPK, because that's where I saw the link.
Such as aspirin, heating pads,
ice cream,
opium.
Okay.
Is it more or less disturbing than PETA's Girls Gone Wild style campaign?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, God. I could not believe that this is for real.
Do I need to get a towel in case my brain start leaking out of my ears?
Maybe.
Oh, God.
You're not going to get the full effect. You're going to have to check this out at work tomorrow or tonight on your laptop.
Okay.
I'm not getting the reception down here.
Damn this cave!
The website is...
Our secret hideout is also our foil!
The website is everythingidoiswrong.org.
Okay.
It is from a man's perspective dealing with a woman with PMS.
Hilarious.
Okay, chicken load.
Gross. Is this not the year 2011? Like,
yeah.
Are advertisers still really leaning on that, like, tired old hackneyed premise of the battle of the sexes? Like, do we really have to pit people against each other when the very survival of our species depends on them getting along and having sex?
Yeah, and, like, you know, it's not even... Like, it's just like, it's not even clever. It's
right.
Just,
it's, oh, of course not. It's an ad.
Totally outrageously offensive. Like, there's just nothing redeeming about it. I mean,
since we cannot give visuals on the podcast anyway, you can describe to
okay.
me. The
really,
outrage.
You really need to be able to.
Oh, I will. I will.
It's truly insane. So, you. Picture this. You click on the URL.
Okay.
Everythingidoiswrong.org.
Okay.
Which
is,
you know,
a nonprofit organization.
Right.
I'm
I mean,
sure.
Like the URL itself, it kind of sounds like maybe it's like a Tumblr or like a humor site or something
okay.
like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's the way that it sounds, it seems like it could be, you know, like one of those like college humor sites or like,
right,
damn
right.
you autocorrect, or, you know,
right,
it's a,
right.
it sounds like that kind of thing to me anyway. So you click on it, and what do you get? The first thing that pops up is a picture that looks like the terrorist threat level,
okay.
and it says global PMS scale.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. So basically it's like showing like how much PMS is out there threatening the men of the world.
Oh my
and
God.
Then
it's a worldwide phenomenon. I had no idea.
Yeah. Then you,
that's horrifying.
Then you look down a little bit and there are, you know, strategies to deal
okay.
with for the poor. Poor just, you know, besieged men to
yeah.
deal with. The PMS. And
the
one of them
is,
you know, there's kind of like a picture of a man and it's been like, it has kind of like outlines. Like it looks like, you know, in a movie where they take a photograph and then they like put, you know, like digital lines on stuff like to make it look like the computer is analyzing the face.
Oh, right.
Like
right.
in CSI or something.
Oh, okay.
So there's a picture of a man's face looking like that and it's something like the puppy dog eyes are fire or something like that. Like it's like how to make puppy dog eyes so that you're, you know, enraged, terrible girlfriend
yeah.
won't kill you because she's having PMS. And basically the whole thrust of the campaign is like, men, defend yourself from PMS by throwing as much milk at your girlfriend or wife as you possibly can. And it's like... There's like, you know, a list of...
So I guess pandering to women's insecurities by telling them that milk will help them lose weight has not been as successful as they
yeah,
hoped?
I guess not. And then there's, on top of that, there's like a list of sayings that I can bring up, like things that, you know, men are supposed to say to...
Oh, like calming phrases,
yeah,
to tame the she-beast.
So here's some of them. I'm sorry I listened to what you said and not what you meant. We can both blame myself. I'm sorry for the things I did or didn't do. I apologize for not reading between the right lines. Let's agree to disagree with me. So just like patronizing, fucking.
So, you know, obviously if a woman takes issue with this, she's being told to lighten up and have a sense of humor, whereas when we, you know, kind of use humor to diffuse what, you know, men are stereotypically accused of doing, such as, you know, tips to avoid sexual assault. 1, don't rape people.
Right.
2, don't force people to have sex with you. 3, if someone is too drunk to say yes, don't have sex with them.
Right.
4, well, you know, when women turn the tables and use comedy in that way, suddenly they're attacking men and
right.
they're painting men with an unfair brush.
Well, then you're a humorless feminist.
Yeah.
If you make
I'm a castrating psychopath bitch.
Right. But I mean, the thing that really drives me crazy about this is like the ad firm that came up with this ad.
Uh-huh.
It's a San Francisco based ad firm. Yeah, so it's not
There's
like...
There's been an influx of bros in San Francisco, and I would just like to put my foot down right now and stop this shit, because this is not cool.
You know what I'm actually thinking about doing? Is going to the ad firm and
do it.
Saying, you know, hey, we're here, we have PMS, you know, and we're here to complain
and
about you.
And there's no amount of milk you can throw at us to make it better.
Yeah. I would really like to go in there and just kind of be like, hey, you suck. Like, face to face, you suck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know what kind of security ad firms have, but I mean, I would love to go in there and just kind of be like, we have a complaint that we would really like to talk to somebody about.
I know from experience working in a lot of buildings that have had security guards that 90% of them are not paid well enough, have no training, and do not give a shit about whether you get into the building
That's
or not.
That's kind of what I think. I mean,
they're basically in their job to flirt with girls that work in the building.
Right. So, as I experienced with your last temp job.
Oh my god. Yeah, me too. That guy was like a repeat offender. He like hit on every woman in the building. It was really gross.
Maybe he had PMS. Or maybe he was just so desperate because he'd been driven out of a terrible relationship where his girlfriend always had PMS.
Yeah. Always. She never had sex with him ever.
Because of her PMS.
Yeah.
Because every bad thing that any woman does at any time is probably PMS.
Yeah. They're irrational. They can't think properly.
Right.
All their hormones.
And if you get mad, you know, regardless of the rationality of that anger, it's just PMS.
Yeah.
Honestly, it made me so pissed off. I'm at
Relax,
the point now.
Baby, smile.
Well, I'm at the point now where most of that stuff, I can just kind of let it roll off. Because I'm just like, we live in a fucking sexist world and it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's not worth me, like, getting all riled up about.
You gotta choose your battles, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, a lot of that stuff, it's everywhere. You can't get mad about everything.
Yeah.
And I am pretty good at just kind of being like, okay, that sucks, I will move on.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like, really stuck in my fucking craw because it's,
yeah.
I mean, partly because it's not like a one-off ad. It's a whole campaign
right.
that is centered around the idea that women have PMS and need to be cured by men of their irrational PMSness with, of all things, fucking milk, which
is bad for women.
Yes, bad for women of all species. And,
yes.
And I mean, and men of all species, too. But
unless that woman is a young infant.
Right.
Or a new mother.
Right. Right. So, I mean, yeah. You know, if you're a breastfeeding infant, fine, you get a pass. I guess I will give 3-day-old gray Megan's new son a pass.
Yeah, we should make an announcement.
We should.
A new vegan has entered the world. Well,
true.
Hopefully vegan.
I
right?
think so. I know
right.
he's at least vegetarian. I think he's going to be vegan. His father.
I mean,
is,
aside from the breast milk, obviously.
Yes.
So he's not vegan.
The breast milk
he can be vegan ever again.
You can consent to breast milk.
I'm totally joking.
But yes, our friend Megan Shimek has birthed
a
child,
baby.
A miracle baby.
Gray. So welcome, Gray.
Yes, he is, I think 3 or 4 days old now. Four days old. And he looks very cute based on the Facebook pictures that I took.
Good.
Yes, I'm looking forward to corrupting him.
Yes.
Not in bad ways, in positive ways. And,
good.
And being his babysitter while Megan takes showers, which is what I've been conscripted to do, hold the baby while she takes a shower. So, motherhood, so glamorous and uplifting.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah,
my favorite kind of babies are the ones you can give back.
That's my favorite kind too. I'm realizing with Gray, you know, with whom, you know, I'm pretty good friends with Megan, and we hang out pretty much every week. So, and she has named Mike and I the musical godparents of the baby. So
nice.
We are in charge of educating the baby about music, which I don't know if she knows exactly what she stepped in with that, but I think that's. But I, you know, I'm excited to have, you know, like,
mind to shape.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited to, like, see the baby and meet the baby. I like babies. I don't want one of my own right now.
Sounds like a plan.
Nope. I'm not. No. I'm still getting used to the idea of changing my husband's diapers one day. I don't need to.
Yeah, in like 5 years.
Yeah, probably.
Oh dear.
Oh my. My husband's old. Ha ha ha. And he has PMS.
Yes, milk is bad.
Yeah.
And sexist ads are bad.
Yeah. And sexist ad firms in San Francisco should be ashamed.
Yeah, we're coming to get you.
This mellow vibe, it's hard to rage.
Mellow cave vibe. I feel like a beatnik.
Kind of. I mean, it's funny because this place isn't going for the beatnik thing at all, but I can't quite figure out the crowd here.
Yeah.
I can't figure out what it is.
It's cave people.
Yeah.
Let's talk about art briefly.
Okay.
Not the art in here, but the art at Ritual Coffee Brewers in the Mission District.
That's no longer at Ritual Coffee Brewers. Or
the
current art that replaced
the art situation.
The art at. Tell us about the art scene.
Well, the art scene. Apparently, Ritual. If you're unfamiliar with Ritual Coffee Roasters, and I can't blame you if you are not familiar with them. Ritual Coffee Roasters is. I think Ritual is an apt name for them because they are kind of cultish. In San Francisco, they become like this huge quote-unquote indie coffee roaster that every hipster coffee joint, restaurant, wine bar serves their stuff in all the trendy hip neighborhoods in San Francisco. And people swear by their coffee and people line up to get their coffee, and it's definitely a hot spot in the Mission District, which is arguably like one of the hottest neighborhoods in San Francisco right now. And so, as many coffee shops do, they have, you know, art on their walls. And apparently, I was unaware of this, but apparently Ritual fancies itself high rent enough that they have a curator for their artwork.
I know.
Allegedly.
I mean, that's
according
that's
to their manager.
Rich, to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get that job?
Yeah,
no curator kidding. For a coffee shop?
No kidding.
So their curator curated some pieces of artwork by a Mission resident, a local San Franciscan artist. And they were a series of photographs of, you know, sort of an empty apartment, you know, some meager belongings stacked up. You know, they were kind of, you know, very simplistic and minimalist and sort of melancholy pictures. But they were, you know, they were very beautiful in their own way, and, you know, and they told an interesting story. As you can see in the artist's statement, she said that
it's a series of photographs she took after the death of her mother,
right,
and while clearing out their rent-controlled apartment where she had grown up in New York City. So the photographs were sort of documenting the process of packing up her entire life after her mother's death. So, you know, that's a beautiful tribute to your mother to turn it into artwork like that. And it's really nice. They're nice photographs, you know?
And they're certainly not anything that you would look at them immediately without reading the statement and think, oh my God, death and despair.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, if you were to look at them without the statement, you'd just kind of be like, oh, you know, kind of, you know, photographs of stuff.
Yeah.
They would not be, you would not
be like... photographs in a coffee shop. Like, you can't read too much into it.
Exactly.
Plus, there's a beagle in one of the photographs. So, back the fuck off, right? So, the manager of Ritual sent the artist an email. And the artist, for all of our reading enjoyment, forwarded it on to many Bay Area blogs.
Yeah.
And the email was basically explaining that she had taken down the exhibits because she felt the subject matter was inappropriate for the coffee shop, because a lot of people are looking for escapism with their latte. That escapism is the exact word she used. And they like to use fluffier stuff. Another word she used, fluffier. And that she had, in fact, fired the curator
for daring to take on this work. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was just on her shit list for too long. What can I say? Took the artwork down because it was inappropriate. It was too mopey, doomy, gloomy. They need fluffier stuff, you know. So naturally, what they replaced the artwork with, what they replaced these photographs with, were, I haven't seen the full set, but I have seen one, which is a close-up of two breasts facing each other. Both breasts are pierced, and the piercings are interlocked, so the nipples are kind of pulling against each other in what looks vaguely painful.
Yeah.
And on one breast, and this is where it gets really fucking twee and hackneyed and trite, on one breast is painted the Israel flag, and on another breast is painted the Palestine flag. Can't we all just get along?
It's really deep political commentary.
Issues!
Yeah, issues indeed.
Yes, issues with a capital I.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is the fluffy escapism that the manager of Ritual Coffee thinks that her patrons want.
Yeah.
As opposed to pictures of a cute beagle in an empty apartment.
Right.
So yeah, what the fuck are they putting in their coffee over
there? I think that there is an epidemic of self-importance that is sweeping the nation, and I don't know what to do to combat it.
I know, I'm kind of afraid. Like, people talk about the zombie apocalypse or like the nuclear apocalypse,
it's
but
the
no.
It's self-importance apocalypse.
Yeah, it's happening. It's the self-absorption apocalypse. People are going to be so self-absorbed that they stop having babies and the species dies out.
Maybe that would be for the best.
I think so.
Yes.
Or maybe, it's natural selection. That's what it is. It's a natural call. All the self-important people will be too busy being self-important to have children, and they'll all die off. And then the people that actually think about other people once in a while will have kids and continue the species and save the earth at the same time.
Perfect. But what about the gays?
They can adopt the excess babies.
Okay.
They can adopt the babies that the people who are self-obsessed inadvertently have.
Accidentally.
Yeah. You know, because they wanted to, like, you know, make a big name for themselves, so they released a sex tape or whatever, and then accidentently got pregnant
accidentally
by making
had a baby.
The sex tape.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
And then they're like, whatever, I'll just give this baby to the gays.
That sounds like a good plan for the end of the world.
I think so.
Or the new beginning.
Yes. And speaking of the gays, one more quick plug.
Uh-huh.
No gross pun intended. About this weekend, I went to the Castro with my good friends, one of whom is the founder of the gay version of Facebook, basically. Yeah,
well,
I know. I'm honored. And we went to Harvey's, named after Harvey Milk, on 18th
excellent.
And Castro.
Yes.
And I'd heard they have vegan options because they are somehow connected to Colleen Patrick Goodrow,
yes.
or they picked up her book and were so inspired. And I'm happy to report they have some excellent vegan options.
Well, excellent.
And, you know, because it is a restaurant on 18th and Castro, It is staffed by fabulous, gorgeous waiters who are all completely unattainable.
Perfect.
And they have fantastic adult drinks. And I highly recommend Harvey's if you're ever in San Francisco.
That's good to know.
Yes.
Isn't it? It is. Well, cheers.
Cheers. And with that,
we must draw to a close.
Yeah.
We will hopefully be back next week. We've discussed our busy schedules.
Yeah.
I will try.
We're going to pencil it in.
Yeah. I will try to stop getting sick.
How dare you get sick?
It's kind of fucked up. This is like twice in the last month that I've
been sick a lot lately.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with me, but I'm definitely on the mend.
What you need to do is put me in a little submarine and then shrink me down and then swallow me in a pill. And I'll fly through your body and like
perfect.
Yeah, I'll like fix your immune system and kind of beef you up a little bit so you're like super equipped to fight off colds.
Excellent.
But,
that sounds
great. I have to be sure to do it in less than 12 hours because then the shrink ray wears off and I'll expand and I'll explode you.
Right.
I would want that.
Thank you. You're a true friend.
It'll be just like Inner Space.
That's what I was.
That hilarious hit movie starring Martin Short and Dennis Quaid.
Oh my god. I need to watch that movie again.
Available now on Netflix Instant View.
Is it?
I think so. I think that's how I watched it last.
I loved that movie when I was I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was very cutting edge.
Yes.
I'm sure I would still think so.
Let's do it.
All right.
Well, and we'll be back hopefully soon with after I fix Jordan's immune system, provided she hasn't exploded.
Yes.